How you going?
Good.
How are you? I'm fine, thank you. A privilege to be here. Thank you for being here with me. Following Jesus is not safe. In many Christians around the world today, Christianity is illegal. Following Jesus, it's a crime. And Christians are considered criminals. Christians are beaten. They're tortured. They're put in prison. Sometimes they're even killed because they follow Jesus. And following Jesus is not safe. When you face this kind of opposition for your faith, it really puts things in perspective. And tonight, we're going to get some perspective. We're going to get some perspective from the lives of persecuted Christians. We're going to get some perspective from God's Word. And we're going to consider what it's going to look like for us to live for Jesus in Australia. Let's pray together. Dear Lord God, open our hearts, open our minds to receive your Word. By your Spirit, work in us powerfully. For the glory of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Rachel. She was 14 years old when she started to go to Bible college in Vietnam. She had a burning passion to tell people about Jesus and to learn from God's Word. But in 2005, Vietnamese authorities burst into the Bible college. They began beating the pastor, his wife, and a lot of the students who were your age. The attack forced the Bible college to close down, and all the students had to go home. It was not long after this that Rachel received a knock on her door. It was the police. The police had come to arrest her. The police took Rachel to their headquarters and interrogated her. As they were asking her questions, they hit Rachel. They slapped her across the face. "Why did you become a Christian?" they demanded. Rachel responded, "I want to be transformed. I want to see many people in my country receive salvation." But the questions kept on coming and the police kept on interrogating Rachel. "Why were you at the Bible college? If you don't tell us the truth, we're going to put you in prison." Rachel responded again, "I went to the Bible college to learn from God's Word. I don't know what else to tell you." When their interrogation had finished, the police put Rachel in prison for 14 days. She was 14 years old. 14 days in prison for following Jesus. When she was in prison, she was interrogated again. This time, she was told to stand with her feet together and her arms outstretched. While she was standing like this, the police forced her to stand up on her toes and they put nails under her feet. And they forced her to stand like this until she could bear it no longer. Rachel collapsed after half an hour in unbearable pain. Now, suffering shouldn't take us by surprise. Persecution for the name of Jesus shouldn't take us by surprise. In John chapter 15, what does Jesus say? "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If they persecuted me, what do you think they're going to do to you?" The world sent Jesus to the cross. What do you think they're going to do to anyone who tries to follow him? In Mark chapter 8, what does Jesus say? Jesus tells his disciples what it's going to look like to follow him. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, he must take up his cross and follow me. Jesus tells his disciples that following him is going to be a dangerous road. Following him is not safe. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to the cross to die for you. If we want to follow him, we know where he's going. And this is the reality. If you want to follow Jesus, you've got to get ready to suffer. In 1996, Trung travelled up to the Central Highlands of Vietnam. He was determined to preach the gospel to the tribal people. But during his trip, he was arrested by the police, which is common for pastors and evangelists in Vietnam, to be arrested, put in prison, beaten. The police said to Trung, "If you deny your faith in Jesus, you can go home today. If not, we'll put you in prison for 3 years." Trung chose the dangerous road following Jesus because he was willing and ready to suffer for his faith. From this moment on, he decided, "I am willing to die for my Lord Jesus." He no longer worried about his own life. He committed to sharing the gospel with everyone he met in prison. Trung did not lose heart because he knew that his suffering was not the end of the story. Of the 200 people in prison with him, 40 people became Christians. 40 people started following Jesus because Trung did not give up, because Trung proclaimed the gospel in prison. And the authorities were absolutely furious. They doubled his sentence to 6 years and they wouldn't let his family visit him. One day, one of the guards asked him, "You're prepared to go to prison. You're beaten all the time, and most of the time, you're closer to death than you are alive, but you just don't deny Jesus. Why don't you give up?" Trung said, "I have dedicated my life to Christ. I die with him every day, and I want to please him in everything that I do." Wow. Trung did not lose heart because he knew that his suffering, it wasn't the end of the story. And I met this guy. I met this man a few months ago in October. I had to meet him in a hotel room in Ho Chi Minh City because it was too dangerous to meet him anywhere else. I was blown away. He told us about his 6 years in prison. He told us about being beaten for his faith. He told us that he was near to death many times. One thing he said, sometimes I miss prison. Because God was so near to me in that time. God taught me so many things through my suffering. Can you imagine that? Missing prison where you were getting beaten every day because God taught you so much through your suffering. But the thing that shocked me the most was that this guy, he talked about it all with a big smile on his face. Trung had hope. He had joy. He did not lose heart. Why? Because he knew that his suffering, it was not the end of the story. In 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul tells us, do not lose heart. Remember who this guy is. Remember what he's saying here. Just before this, he says, "I'm hard pressed on every side. I am persecuted. I am struck down. Every day I carry around with me the death of Jesus in my body." He is recounting in this passage a life of weakness, a life of suffering, and he dares to say this. Do not lose heart. In the middle of your suffering, do not lose heart. How can he say this? Isn't it scandalous? Why don't we just give up when life gets too hard? Well, Paul gives us a reason. He gives us a reason why we do not give up. What does he say? We know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart because we will be raised with Jesus to life and glory that do not compare with our present sufferings. Paul goes on just after this to say that our light and momentary troubles right now, they don't even compare with the weight of glory that's to come. He calls his present sufferings light, momentary, as if they don't even matter. What is Paul telling us? Paul is telling us that death is not the end of the story. Suffering is not the final reality. But do we believe it? But do we really believe what Paul says? It's not how we think in Australia, is it? We see death as a great tragedy. We might nod our heads about the resurrection, about life in Christ, but how do we live? But how do we live? We live as though death were the very end of the game. But let me tell you something. Death isn't the greatest tragedy. Paul tells us in Philippians 1, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The only way that you can consider death again is that if there is something good coming. Paul says that death is a gain because he knows the eternal reward that is waiting for him. Life and glory beyond all comparison. So if death isn't the greatest tragedy, what is the greatest tragedy? I'll tell you what the greatest tragedy is. The greatest tragedy is if you don't follow Jesus. If you don't follow Jesus, then death is the end. You've wasted your life. You have wasted absolutely everything. Because you're missing out on the eternal weight of glory, of life that is to come. Because for Christians, the Bible teaches us that death, it's only the beginning. Death is only the beginning. What's our life like? Our life is like when you go to the movies and you see the previews for the movie. You know, the previews, they're short. You know, you get a glimpse of the movie that's going to come. You get a glimpse of the reality. But then it's over. 30 seconds. It's short. That's it. If you walk out after the preview, you're missing the real thing. Because the preview is not the final curtain. The best story is still to come. The real movie is only just around the corner. We see a glimpse of it in the preview, don't we? But it's not the real thing. Don't walk out after the preview. And this is the same as our life. Our life is so short. It's just like a 30-second preview. It's short. It's fleeting. The Bible tells us it's like a mist that comes, but then it's gone before you even realise it. And Paul says just after this passage in 2 Corinthians 4 that what we see around us is temporary. What we don't see is eternal that lasts forever. If we walk out after the preview, we're missing out on a real thing. Because death is not the end. The real thing is still coming. We will be raised with Christ. This is what Paul tells us. We will be raised with Christ. We will be raised to life and glory. There might be a question in your head. What if it's just not true? What if the resurrection never happens? Jesus never got out of the grave. What if Jesus is still dead? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no victory over sin. Why? Because sin beats Jesus. He's still in the grave. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there is no eternal weight of glory. There is no life that is coming. Why? Because death beats Jesus. He's still in the grave. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there is no hope of justice. There is no hope of goodness. Because evil beat Jesus. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then I'll be the first one out this door because I don't want to suffer for nothing. I don't want to spend my 30 seconds that I have up on stage. I don't want to spend my 30-second preview to suffer if there isn't an eternal life of glory to come. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then death is the greatest tragedy. And Christians are to be pitied above all men. But what does Paul tell us? Paul tells us that Jesus did rise from the dead. Paul and at least 500 other witnesses saw him. They touched him. They talked to him. And do you know what they did with their lives? They died for him. Because they believed that he was alive. They believed that this life and glory that was coming was worth giving up their lives for because their life was not the end. Death was not the end of the story. And they were willing to give it all away to receive what was to come. And so what does Paul tell us? In the middle of suffering, we do not lose heart. Have you responded to Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Are you trusting in Jesus? If you do not follow Jesus, then death is the end of the story for you. You have wasted your life, your 30 seconds is gone, and there is only death to come. Turn to Jesus now. Receive life. Talk to your youth leaders. Talk to your friends. Do not waste your life. Follow Jesus at all costs. Yeah. At 16 years of age, Luis Carlos enrolled in a Bible college in Colombia, in South America. Luis didn't have a lot, but he was determined to tell the youth of Colombia about Jesus. You know, Luis had suffered a lot. When he was 10 years old in 1999, the rebel guerrillas of Colombia came storming through his town. He was underneath his bed, sheltering his brother from the bullets that were flying across the room. The guerrillas raided their town and his family were forced to flee from the violence. And they were left with absolutely nothing. But Luis was determined to tell these guerrillas about Jesus because he knew that they of all people needed forgiveness. They of all people needed transformation. They of all people needed life and hope. And so now, today, right now, Luis is at Bible College in Medellin, Colombia. But while all of the other students at the Bible College might be relaxing on the weekends, what does Luis do? Luis goes out into the red zones of Colombia. And these are areas where there is constant danger, where your life is on the line 24/7. Luis lays his life on the line every time he goes out. And he knows that he may never return to tell of his journey. "Here I am, Lord. I am yours," he says. "Tomorrow, I might come home. Tomorrow, I might not come home. It's up to you, Lord." Luis knows that his life is in God's hands. All he's got to do is get out there. He's got to do God's work. Luis is willing to risk his life because he knows that his suffering is not the end of the story. He wants to spend his 30 seconds on stage doing something for Jesus. And Christians throughout the centuries have risked their lives for the gospel. Today, Christians are risking absolutely everything for Jesus. And in Australia, we wonder what holds us back, don't we? Why don't we have this same kind of radical surrender, this hope and joy? In Australia, we're tempted to think that death is the end. And so what happens? We live for today. We end up looking exactly the same as the person next door because we believe that this life is all that there is. And so we chase after safety. We chase after comfort. We don't want to serve anyone else because that's uncomfortable. We don't give our money away because we want to keep it for ourselves. We don't reach out and speak to the stranger in our midst because we're already comfortable with the friends that we've already got. We don't stand up for the weak or the oppressed because we don't want to put ourselves out on a limb. We live for today. The world lives for today. And it dies tomorrow. Christians die today. And they live tomorrow. We are not meant to live for comfort now. Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. We're meant to give it all away now. We're meant to risk everything we've got, to serve, to surrender, to die for the cause of Christ, and we will truly live tomorrow. The kind of life that Jesus is after is one that is filled with humility, weakness, service, surrender, generosity, justice, and a life that is devoted to declaring his praises to the nations and to our next door neighbour. If we really believe in the resurrection, if we really believe that this stuff is true, we're free to take risks for Jesus. It's going to mean we're free to serve other people because we won't need to think of ourselves. Jesus has that covered. We're free to proclaim the gospel no matter what the cost, even at the cost of our lives. Because Jesus has got that covered. We're free to pursue beauty and justice. We're free to give our money away, to give our lives away. So what about you? Are you going to hold on now? Are you going to live today and die tomorrow? Or are you going to die today? Are you going to follow Jesus? Are you going to live a life of service and surrender, giving everything up, risking everything for Jesus and receive life and glory in just a little bit of time? As we've learned from the scriptures and seen in the lives of persecuted Christians, we must prepare for suffering. It's going to happen to all of us at some stage. You can try running away, but it's always going to catch up. Do not lose heart when suffering comes. We have a sure hope of being raised with Christ to life and glory. A sure hope. And take risks. Do not be a comfortable Christian. Take risks to tell other people about Jesus and to bring glimpses of tomorrow into today. Don't chase after safety and comfort. This life doesn't last. If your safety is here, it does not last. Find your safety and your security in Jesus. In life, that does last. Persecuted Christians are living this out. They are risking their lives day in, day out. They do not lose heart because they know that this life is short and that the life and glory that is to come will last forever. We have so much to learn from their radical risk-taking, from their determination and their passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't we? But right now, today, 200 million Christians face persecution for their faith in Jesus. Their pain is real. Their suffering is overwhelming. They are our family. They are our brothers. They are our sisters. And they need our prayers. They need our support. We need to encourage them to not lose heart and to keep their eyes focused on eternity. As their family, we are called to be bound with them, to stand with them as they are persecuted for the gospel. Will you stand with your family? Will you stand with your family? What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. But I don't want you guys to sit there idly. I don't want you hunched over in your chairs, twiddling your thumbs. I'm going to ask anyone who wants to stand with the persecuted church, anyone who wants to pray for the persecuted church, to show your support by standing right now as I pray. Anyone who wants to support the persecuted church, to stand with them, I invite you to stand as I pray. Let's pray together to our Lord who hears all of our prayers. Dear Lord, we stand now together with the persecuted church.
Yes.
We are your people. We are one in Christ.
Yes.
And we cannot ignore their pain. Mm. Lord, their suffering does not take us by surprise. But we ask that your Spirit might help them to not lose heart when everything else seems lost. Give them deep joy.
Yeah.
Give them deep hope. Give them deep faith so that they can endure anything that the world throws at them.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you so much that they are willing to take any risk to make your gospel known throughout the world. Give them courage to proclaim your word fearlessly, even willing to put their lives on the line to declare your praises. And Lord, I pray a dangerous prayer for us tonight.
Yeah.
Lord, give us this same kind of courage to risk everything for your kingdom right here, right now. In our lives, may your Son be glorified and may you be pleased to work through us to save many people in Australia. Lord, we pray this for the glory of your Son Jesus, who is alive and well today, who reigns on high and who will come, who will return and will give us life and glory. Amen. Please take a seat. Guys, when you came in, you would have found a slip on your seat with a pen. And I want you to pick that up now. This is an opportunity for you. This is an opportunity for you to stand with the persecuted church. To stand with them, not only tonight like you've done, but as you leave this building and go into your schools, as you go into your youth groups. Please put your details down so that you can continue to pray for them, so that you can get involved with our youth campaigns to support this persecuted church. I'm picking up my pen right now. I'll give you a few seconds to fill your details in. At the end of the night, what I want you to do is I want you to put that slip in the baskets up on our table just there. We've got plenty of freebies for you guys tonight, and we'd love to give them to you as gifts, as well as plenty of things for sale. So please visit us up there, come and ask me questions, or any of the guys in the illegal shirts. But thank you so much to Ben and Jess for inviting me to come along, and the team for putting on this fantastic night. Thank you guys for having me and for being such a great community of people as we gather together to praise Jesus.